I hear the sound of your voice. All at once it's a gentle and thundering noise. Oh God, all that you are is so overwhelming.
We have with us Pastor John all the way from Liberia, right? Africa. And Bill and Sharon are with us as well. And because I don't actually know Pastor John that well, I'm going to call Pastor Bill up here, and he's going to do most of the introductions. But we're excited to hear about what God's doing in your life, Pastor John, and through your life and the ministry. We know it's about the Holy Spirit; it's His ministry. You're just a guy who said yes, right? That's all we are. You know, it's just someone who said yes, Lord, and made ourselves available. But we know there's some incredible ministry going on there. And for those who don't know, Pastor John, he has the Lord's Prayer ministry that we just picked up in support this year. If you were here in I think it was January, if my memory serves me correctly. I introduced that ministry and Pastor John to you, but really just through kind of reading some stuff and showing you some pictures. But now we have even better, live and in person. And so go ahead and come on forward, and let's give them just a warm welcome this morning, if you would. Yeah. All right, brothers, there you go.
First of all, let me say thank you to the church for their support. Sharon and I just returned from Africa this week. We were working in Swaziland. We've been there almost 7 weeks, and just returned this week. This church helped us go. Their support was a big help to us, and we thank you very much. Sharon is Howard's sister and Wayneta's sister, and Wayne and Gloria's, yeah. And Wayne and Wanda Hoskins' daughter, and she's actually a charter member of this church. So even though she's been gone a few years, we were in Africa 40 years and we retired 3 years ago. We've been able to return every year, and we thank God for this church's help and assistance in all of our years in Africa. It's been a tremendous time. But we first met John in 1981. He was a 17-year-old boy who had come into the city from the bush, and I mean the bush. Where he was from was a rather primitive place. And he came in to get an education. He was going to high school. He was in the ninth grade, 17 and in the ninth grade. He was attending school in the afternoons, and we needed someone to help us. Our son Josh was just under a year old, and so John started working for us, and he was watching Josh while we went to teach. Sharon would drive across town to the college and teach, and John was the one who took care of Josh. And then in the afternoons, John would go to school. He would come back after school, and he would help in the house, and he learned to cook and bake and do all kinds of things. He actually became a part of our family. John adopted us as his parents. Kind of strange, huh? Instead of us adopting him, he adopted us. He started calling us Mom and Dad, and all of our four children called John their brother. And John has been very, very faithful for all of the years. I remember many Monday mornings when John would come to work, and Sharon would say to him, "John, did you go to church yesterday?" And John would say, "Oh, madam, I was so tired." Or there was a soccer game that I had to attend, or some other excuse. But Sharon always asked him every Monday morning, "John, did you go to church?" I guess the Bible says train up a child in the way he should go. Doesn't it? It's there for a reason. All that changed, however, when the war came to Liberia. We've watched John as God has led him these last 28 years. We left our house in Liberia. We had our two suitcases, and we said to John, "John, you take care of everything for us, but if they come to get you, don't hesitate to leave. Just a few days, 2 days after we left, what happened, John?
Praise the Lord. So hard to start, and it was in May 1990 May. They left me in the house, and then in the evening, there was about 15 soldiers, well armed with machine guns. And they came through the door to kill me because I was from the wrong tribe. And a friend of mine saw these guys coming, and he rushed into the door, and he told me to run out. Soldiers were in the yard. So I ran through the back door, and I remembered I was just in a pair of T-shirts and shorts. And I ran out in the dark and looking there, and my friend had a gunpoint. And never to return, and I left that night.
You left that night, and you started to run.
Yes.
There were some times when you ended up in the wrong line.
Yeah.
What happened one time when you showed your card and it showed that you were the GIO?
I was actually trying to. Monrovia got very dangerous, and they were killing everyone that came from my tribe. And so I decided to run and go to Sierra Leone as a refugee. But doing that, you have to go through lots of military checkpoints. And I got to one, and they asked me to show my IDs. And then I showed my IDs, and I was arrested by the soldiers. So they took me in and picked me up and put me in on an execution line. And I was standing there, and usually how I explain that to people, it's like when you go down to Walmart and you stand in the line to pay your bills, and then one at a time. So I was watching people being slaughtered one at a time. And I think I was like the third person to be killed. And then a guy came from behind, tipped me on my shoulder, and he said, "What are you doing on the line?" And I explained to him what I was doing there. And he said he was my best friend. Never met him before. Never knew who he was. And he picked me up from the line and took me straight across the gate, opened the gate, took me out, and told me to go. And I was set free. And that's how I ended up in the jungle for 3 months.
Eventually, you got to the river crossing into Sierra Leone.
Yeah.
Did you go by yourself?
There were lots of people trying to cross as well from other tribes. Got to the river, and a day before that, some people were trying to cross, and the soldiers said there was no. And if you try to cross a little canoes, and you get in that, and they see you in the middle of the water, they shoot you in the water. So 9 people were killed a day before we got there. So anyhow, I begged this guy that was crossing people, and he said, "Nope, I can't reach to go across there." But after about 2 hours, 3 hours of begging, he finally let us to go. And I crossed the river, got to Sierra Leone as a refugee on August 15, 1990. And when I got to Sierra Leone on the other side, the Sierra Leonean soldiers arrested me among the whole group that was going. And I guess the question they asked me was, "How old are you?" And I said, "I was 25. And this guy couldn't believe what I said, so he got pretty angry. And then he took me and tried to shoot me into the water. He had a gunpoint pushing me in and trying to shoot me. And then a lady saw what was going on. She came and she said, "What's going on?" So I explained to her, and then she turned to the soldier and spoke Creole. And the soldier said, "So who is he to you?" And she said, "That's my cousin." and I never met this lady before. So he told her and said, if he's your cousin, get him out of here. And she picked me up from there and took me into the big refugee camp.
You were then in Sierra Leone for several months.
Yeah.
You had 5 children with you.
Yeah.
Where did they come from?
Those were all picked up from all in the bushes, and also some of the people that helped me, because lots of people helped me to cross. My tribe, you couldn't cross easily. So some of those people, their children, I tried to help them across as well, because the bush was very dangerous. So I became a caretaker to stray children. And I guess that also helped me. God spoke to me to also care for the children. And that's how things started, I guess.
After you returned to Liberia, there was a lull, there was a ceasefire.
Yeah.
And you returned to Liberia.
Yeah.
How did things go then?
What happened was we were in Sierra Leone, and then a ceasefire in Liberia, so we were told to go back to Liberia. And then I took the chance to get to Liberia. At this time, Sierra Leone was very bad. They had a war going on as well. So every young person that was in Sierra Leone from Liberia, they grabbed you and killed you. So we were told to leave because things were bad in Sierra Leone. So I took the chance and came to Liberia. When I came to Liberia, after a few months, I think I got in Liberia out of May or June, can't remember right now. But a few months later, the war broke out again. And it was bad. We were hunted. My tribe was hunted, and then bullets were flying all over. I was explaining a story to Dad a few days ago. And I said, I remember one night, because I slept in one place one night, the other night I slept in another area, another night I slept in another area. And one night I slept in the wrong place. And there was huge fighting, firing all over. And I was caught in crossfire. I have to lie down for about 6 hours, bullets flying all over us. And the place we were, there was a lady. She was so scared when the firing was so heavy. So she tried to run, and she was hit right in the head, and she fell over us. She died, but we couldn't do anything. So she bled over us the whole night until in the morning, and I pulled her body out, and we left our area.
Eventually, you were able to come to Swaziland.
Yeah.
We were pastoring. My wife and I were missionaries in Swaziland. We were pastoring an international church. And we knew John was having trouble in Liberia. We sent some funds to another missionary who was actually living in Ivory Coast, but he was making trips into Liberia. And we told him if he ever found John, to bring John out. And so he brought John to Ivory Coast, and then we were able to help him with a ticket to come to Swaziland. When you got to Swaziland, they welcomed you with open arms, right?
Beautiful. This is really one of the great things that you should share with people. I've been through the war and I've seen a lot and lots of things happen to me. And then Mom and Dad sent for me. I went to Sierra Leone. And I got to Sierra Leone, Ivory Coast first, and then flew to Swaziland. When I flew to Swaziland at immigration, there was a really mean woman, very mean. And this lady, I haven't seen anyone mean like that. But she had been in the office, she called me now in the office and she said, what are you doing in our country? And I said, oh, I'm a refugee and I'm flying from Ivory Coast to come here because things are bad up. So when I said that, she couldn't believe me. So she took all of my documents, my travel documents. The UN had a passport. I had all that. She took that and trashed it. And then I have no paper to prove. And Mom and Dad know nothing about what's going on. So she called.
They're standing waiting at the airport.
Yeah. And then the secret police came in. They picked me up. Long story short. And they took me to jail. And I was there. When I got in jail, there was about the 12th person in our little room, best described. We stood all day. And if we want to lie down, one person opened their legs, and the other person goes like that until the end. And there was two things I remember very well. There were two buckets sitting in there that we did everything in, one number one and another number two. And we filled it up, and then the newer person that came in there has to take it out to clean the bucket, and that was me. And all these guys, big guys, and I'd never been to jail before, so I was scared. But I started praying. I prayed and prayed and prayed. I think I prayed almost an hour. I prayed. And at the end of my prayer, I opened my eyes. And all of these guys were looking like little children. Little tiny children. And I said, how many of you here know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? And nobody was there that knew Christ. So I said, let's hold hands. And they had hands. I said, repeat after me. And they all repeated the sinner prayer. And the whole room became Christian. And less than 24 hours, I was set free. Hallelujah.
When you got to us at Swaziland College of Theology, you enrolled as a student.
Yeah.
You were with us for 2 years.
Yeah.
But you had health problems because of what you had been through in Liberia.
Yeah.
One of the things I remember, you had TB of the spine.
Yeah.
And the doctors told you would never be able to play soccer again.
Walk.
Or walk again.
Yeah. That was one of the challenging times in my life. After all these beautiful stories, I got pretty sick. And TB of the spine. I had 3 surgeries, and it kept getting worse and worse and worse. And the doctor said that I was not going to walk, I was not going to play soccer, I was going to sit in a wheelchair for the rest of my life. But I told God, I said, I'm a Pentecostal preacher. I believe in healing. So I don't believe I was going to sit in a wheelchair and preach healing. And you know what? At the right time, God healed me completely. And I can walk. I can play soccer. I can run after my 80 children. Praise the Lord.
Amen. After some time, you went to Canada as a refugee. And you were able to complete your Bible college, you were able to become a Canadian citizen.
Yeah.
And you received your license your ministerial credentials.
Yeah.
And
AG.
From the AG. Yeah. And you were set.
Yeah.
You were set for life. I mean, everybody in Africa looks for becoming a citizen of Canada or the United States. But what happened?
I always want to be grateful to God for whom he is. It's by his power and his glory, his leadership, his direction, that lead us as Christian to do what we do. After hours, I moved to Canada from Swaziland as a refugee. The Lord blessed me, I had my Canadian citizenship, and then I finished up my Bible school, went and did more schooling, and everything was set, credentialed by the Pentecostal Assembly of Canada. And I started work, things started moving good in the eyes of man. And I heard a call of God, John, you have to go back to Liberia and help your people. That was 20 years ago.
What did you find, John, when you went back?
I went back to Liberia. The very first day that I got in Liberia, At about 2 a.m. in the morning, the war started again. After being in Canada. But I was never deterred, never retreated. I told God, I said, if you call me, I'm going to be here and serve you. And I stayed there. The war came closer and closer and closer. And by the time we looked, the war entered Moravia. And we were caught in the mess. My wife and I, at this time, we have 16 girls that we adopted as our children. And many of these children, we picked them from the street. At the time, there were thousands of street children. Parents all fled, some killed. No history, so we picked them up, and we started being parents to them, 15 girls. And we have to care for these kids as the war entered Moravia. And we were caught many, many days in crossfire. And we have to protect those children. And God protected them. And we all survived. Praise the Lord.
When you left Monrovia and went out to Harbel, I think it was.
Yeah.
Were the 16 girls dressed as girls?
What we did, when things got pretty bad, we have to play some strategies. So there was lots of, the soldiers were, I mean, they were raping anything to see, any girls, babies, whatever. So we have to dress our girls as boys. So we put pants on them, we tie their head, and we tie things here so no one see their breasts or whatever. And we actually train them to act like boys. So at night, we tell them when someone speak to you, speak like a boy. And we'll put them in the room, and then my wife will be at the back, and I'll be at the front. And I will tell them, no one's going to get you until they kill me. And listen to this. At this time, the Americans and the Canadians, they were asking all of their citizens to leave Liberia. And I received a call, and it said, John, you have to leave Liberia. There was a place that I was supposed to go, and then I was going to be picked up by the Canadians. And I told them, I said, I'm not going to leave my children to go to Canada. And I stayed with them until the war was over.
Since then, John, you and your wife have been parents to 150
Yeah.
children in Liberia.
Yeah.
20 years.
20 years.
Wasn't it in 2014 the Ebola crisis came?
And then in 2014 we had Ebola. I don't know how many of you heard about it. But Ebola was worse than the Civil War. It was bad. We had neighbors dying. I mean, anything that crossed your path. Once you have it, you die. So what I did, I shut my campers up. We were about 150 in there, workers and their children and so more. And we shut the campers' door. We shut the school down. We shut the church. And I was the only person that could come out and get things for my family. And I did that. And every time I came out, when I go back, I have to be bleached. The vehicle has to be bleached. And one particular story that I like to tell people is how God saved my life sometimes. One morning, I was going out to look for food, and I saw this neighbor, very close friend of ours, and he was trying to stop my vehicle, and I kind of thought twice, should I help him or should I let go? And finally, I left and started to go. And then I went and did all my things. When I was coming back, our neighbor was dead from Ebola, right at that spot. And I stayed in my car, and I took some pictures. And I said, it was God. I almost let God get in my vehicle, and the both of us could have been gone.
You have a You have a big family now. You have 86 children.
Yeah.
Anyone want to compete? You have a school with how many kids?
We are blessed to have a Christian school, and we run about 560 students. They come to school and go right back out. And these are some of the children that we help come to school. They would never go to school if we don't help. So God has blessed us in that area for us to be able to be a blessing to the children. Not only our children that we care for, but also be a blessing to more kids in the community and help them to have an education. And then my wife and I also run a church, the Lord's Prayer Fellowship. Right now we average over 500 members, and we also heavily involved in Liberia helping 20 other orphanages that we minister and help the children and organize programs and try to help them to survive.
One of the things that you told us, John, is that the government of Liberia evaluates the orphanages every year.
Yeah.
And where does the Lord's Prayer Ministry stand in that evaluation?
Praise the Lord. I think with your prayers and all that God is able to do, God has always had favor on us as an organization. For the past 8 years, the Lord's Prayer Ministry has always been number one in Liberia. And the government used that whenever the group comes from overseas or whatever, they use the Lord's Prayer as an example. It's not because we are better, but I told Dad, I said, it is the Spirit of God. Because they have some big groups there like SOS and other big organizations, and they're doing the same job. But God always has for to become number one. And I have no clue how that happening. But it's because he's there. He's on the campus. He's the one that ministering to the children. And we are just being used as an instrument.
Amen. Sharon and I were able to visit that campus in 2013. We stayed there for almost a week and a half.
Yeah.
And during that time, I have to say, I've never been in an orphanage where everyone was family. It was a family situation, and all of the kids called Sharon and I Grandma and Grandpa, and it was amazing. It was the neatest experience, and God has used John in an amazing way. And I just want John to share with you from his heart now a bit more of his ministry and what God wants him to share with you. And then he'll close with a video at the end. But John, go ahead and share with us.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. Okay, I'm from Africa, so usually we preach for 3 hours. And then, actually, the praise and worship go for 2 hours, and then the preacher comes and preach for 2 hours. But because I love you, I'll make it 5 hours. And you may never get me back here again. Praise the Lord. I'm really happy and thankful to God for mom and dad for being here. And as it truly said, God has been so faithful and so good in all that he does. I'm not going to preach to you this morning. We already did all the preaching. But there's a scripture that usually I like to share with God's people before I take my seat. Turn with me to the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah 29, starting with the 11th verse. And this is a very strong scripture that spoke to me 20 years ago when I made up my mind to go to Liberia. And how beautiful it is as God's children to know that our God is an evil God. For I know the plan I have for you, declares the Lord. Plan to prosper you and not to harm you. Plan to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me. And I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Very surely, Liberia, when I speak to people, that's just almost a lost nation. So many things happening there, and you can't believe what's going on. But at the other end, when you look at it, there's hope. And that hope can only be found in Jesus, our Lord, and our soon coming King. I've challenged so many people over the 20 years. Many times some people tell me and say, John, are you crazy to go back to Liberia after everything you went through and you become a Canadian citizen and you had everything good and this and this? And I tell them, all of what you see today, my Bible tells me, it shall pass away. In God's plan for us, as individual, as a church, there are three important things that I see whenever I travel. In God's plan, you find fulfillment, complete fulfillment. Sometimes it gets so dark, sometimes it gets so difficult that you as a Christian or even individual, we don't even know the next day that we are going to make it. But because God has a plan for you, he gives you the next step and gives you the next day, and by the time you know, you are there. Fulfillment. And the next thing you see in God's plan, he gives you hope. And I tell so many people that said, a person that lives without hope, you're not a person. Hope is the one that gets us going every day. Every day. We hope for something better. We hope that things are going to change. We hope that things are going to get better. We hope it will be better. And lastly, in God's plan, there's a better tomorrow. That's the most exciting thing that I know as a preacher. Everything that I do, my tomorrow lies in the hands of the King of Kings. I tell people many times, I say, as a person, I'm not even afraid to die. I would rejoice. If someone came in here with guns and start shooting, I would say, leave all of them, shoot me first. I look for a better tomorrow in Jesus. He is the one that holds my tomorrow. When he told me years ago, go back to Liberia, I told him, I said, if you go with me, I will go. If you stay, I will stay. And I heard his voice. He said, I'm going. And I went with him. He's a good God, a good father, a faithful father. The one that never breaks his promises. He's the God that I'm talking about. And today I rejoice in him. We're so blessed in Liberia, my wife and I. Every place you pass, someone have to call my wife, Mommy, and call me Daddy. When missionaries come to Liberia, and we go to every place in Liberia, and every, Mommy, Daddy, Mommy. And then they go, man, how many children do you guys have? It is a blessing of God. So good. A special greeting from my wife and my 80 children and the school, to you, Pastor, and your family and the congregation. We want to say a big thank you for what you do for us, monthly support, I'm very sure the Lord will bless you. He is a good God. May the Lord bless you. Amen. I got a short video, 7 minutes. We're going to see that, and then I'm going to pray. This is the community we find ourselves in, and taking a little walk in the area, really needed people. There's a bathroom. Pretty sad sometimes to walk around here to see how bad it is for some people. We just left a house, and talking about the gal, what she was splitting. Once upon a time, she was married, and had 3 children, and the husband beat her up and broke one of the eyes and threatened to kill her for another girlfriend's issue. And then he took off ever since and never to be seen. We pick the kids up, they come to school, but they have to come back here to sleep in our little junk. It's a sad story. And we're gonna take them and have them come to school. But as I was saying, the same was. She said there's no food, they don't even have anything to eat. This is the Lord's Prayer Academy, starting from grade 1. And grade 2 over there, grade 3, and all the way. Liberian flag and TLP flag. Thank you.
honor if you know him. God bless you up and give him a fervent hope. Giving us all the joy that we deserve. Thank you for sending your son Jesus to die. He died for you, he died for me. He died so everyone else can be free. I know you want to beat him, Satan holding you back. I want you to know, salvation is free. TRP, we are here to make the difference. Love the Lord with all your heart, my soul and strength. Without this, you can never and ever be called a child of God. Thank you, Lord, for giving rest to all the children of the world.
It's good all the time. All the time, God is good. Some of those beautiful children that you see out there, we picked them up when they were babies. I have a couple stories about two of those kids. One of the graduates, Heather, our older kids now, she was picked up on the street during the heat of the Civil War. Her mother was shot in the head, dead, and she was standing there nursing from her mom's breast. And then a friend of mine picked her up from there, never to see anyone connected to her. But she's a beautiful woman now, serving Liberia as well. And then my other daughter that will be graduating in December as a teacher, she was born and her mom didn't like her. And picked her and took her, wrapped her, and threw her in the garbage can. And then a lady picked it up from the garbage can and brought her to us as a little child. She grew up with us, and in December, she'll be graduating as a teacher from university. So we are seeing lots and lots of great things that God is able to do, and he's doing. So I want to just want you to remember us in prayer as well. And remember what God is doing in Liberia. And again, thank you for being part of us. Can we pray? Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. You're great, you're kind, you're faithful. We thank you that today, Lord, we have the opportunity to praise you once again. We give you the honor and the glory for all that you are and all that you do all of the time. We bless your name today, tomorrow, and the tomorrows to come. Let your glory reign forever and ever until we see you again. In Jesus' name, amen.